So you arrive at work and you set up your desk. You set up your phone.
Telephone here. Telephone ready for action. Telephone, I'm going to call you. Telephone. Telephone here, yes.
You set up your cell phone.
A cell phone, yes, I can text you, sure, I can show you the internet, all kinds of stuff, texting, I can
set up your computer, it's Facebook.
Facebook here.
And Twitter bank.
Twitter. Twitter.
Turn on the LinkedIn notifications, all the news feeds, and now you're ready to get something done, right?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir, I'll try to reconnect you again with San Francisco. Let me see, Mr. Bibbibib is in there, talking to Mr. Bubba right now.
Getting a little overwhelmed? Just attack that mountain. Work harder. All of these machines are here to help.
We're helping. We're here to help. We're here to help. We're helping.
Lunchtime. Maybe I'll just work through lunch. That'll give me an extra hour. Yeah, I'm getting a handle on this. End of the day. Still not done. What's this text? Oh, well. I've got tomorrow. And there'll be plenty of time to work during my upcoming vacation. That'll take the pressure off. This hamster wheel approach to productivity not only isn't very pleasant, it's just not productive. But it is a pattern very hard to break, according to Tony Schwartz, who's author of Be Excellent at Anything. He says we're doing it all wrong and that the trick to getting more out of work is to do less. Tony, great to have you with us. And let's start with how Americans approach setting themselves up for the working day. And then tell us what's wrong with that.
Well, I'd say two things, John. The first is that when the pressure is very high, what we tend to do is hunker down and stay the course and burn the midnight oil. You know, they invented all these cliches to describe what we do, meaning that they work for very, very long periods with their heads down, taking no breaks. But at the same time, in the face of so much technology, they work in a very distracted way. So what happens is we end up working very long and we end up working very distracted. Neither of those are serving us well. First of all, they're not a productive way to work. Second, they're not a high quality way to work. And third, they're not a way that serves you well from your energy, from an energy perspective.
Let's focus on energy in a moment. But first, how does strategies like denying yourself lunch or working through your break deliver a kind of an illusion that, oh, I have a lot more time to get this done than I actually do. And by the end of the day, people typically feel so unsatisfied.
You know, the most satisfying thing in the world, meditation masters have known this for 2,500 years, is to do one thing at a time in an absorbed way for a defined period of time. And the illusion is that by spending time, somehow time translates into effectiveness. But time isn't the measure. The energy you bring to the time, the focus you bring to the time is the measure. And the more focus you bring, both the higher the quality of the work and the more productive you are doing that work.
Now, it always makes me so curious when I come into an office space, and this is true everywhere I've worked and places that I've visited, where people come into the morning. In this modern sort of technological time, they sit down, they may have their little creature comforts, you know, cup of coffee or tea or something like that. But their ritual for setting themselves up invariably involves turning on every single device, opening every window and every channel that's going to distract the hell out of them for the rest of the day.
Yeah, that's so great, John. What they do is they turn over their agenda to someone else or to some other people from moment one. So if you're a person who feels your agenda, your own agenda matters, turning on those devices is the most self-destructive thing you can do. And it's about as addictive as cocaine, those devices. And, you know, increasingly there's evidence that it's literally addictive, that it has the same pull, the same setting off of dopamine receptors in your brain that increase your desire and are almost impossible to resist when they're on.
And the alternative, coming in and keeping everything off and only turning things on when you decide to, all right, this is my email break, or this is my Facebook break, or I'm going to focus on this task until 10:30, and then I'm going to go and get a glass of water or something. That delivers the illusion that you are the master of your agenda. And what does that do to your brain and emotional state to feel that you're in control versus the next phone ring or email around the corner is actually in control?
Yeah, you use the word illusion again, that it gives you the illusion of dot, dot, dot. I actually think it's a reality. Essentially, John, what you're talking about is being in control of your attention. And to go back to the contemplative traditions, controlling your attention is the sine qua non of a good life. It's what allows you to be doing the things that you've deemed to be important in the and bring the richest of who you are to each of those tasks.
Now, we've talked a lot about personally what we might do to keep from being enslaved by all of the distractions and maybe take more mastery of our daily schedule as a way of feeling more productive and more in control. But what is the management signal that delivers that this is something that should be implemented across an organization throughout a team?
Yeah, and ultimately, John, this is a partnership between employer and employee that has to reflect a new kind of value exchange. So the value exchange that's dominated since the Industrial Revolution is money for time. And it's a pretty thin exchange that doesn't particularly satisfy either side. So nobody ever gets enough money, and no matter how much money you get, it's never really the source of your deepest satisfaction. So the real shift here for organizations is to recognize what I just described. It's for managers and executives and leaders who are listening to this to start to rethink the way they invest in employees and to recognize that if what their ultimate goal is to get the best possible work for from people, it's far better to invest in meeting their needs, one of the most fundamental of which is intermittent renewal. When organizations start to recognize that providing the support for people to take breaks, setting defined email hours beyond which you don't have to respond, limiting the length of meetings, all of those things are aspects of what makes a workplace more livable and more sustainable. They have to reflect, John, though, a mindset that says more, bigger, faster is not any longer better. There you go. That's exactly what it is. We need a little time during.
Just taking a little break there. Just doing a little meditation there. Tony, I know you have to catch a plane.
No, I'm 110% with you, John.
All right, no, that's great. But I'm just saying... we got to go. You're busy.
I get that.
This has been a great discussion. Tony Schwartz, author of Be Excellent at Anything, is the CEO of the Energy Project. I'm feeling your energy, Tony. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.